Hi, good morning, everyone. Wow, that was really loud. I hope that woke you up. Thank you, Nathan, for such a lovely introduction. And it truly is a wonderful moment to be standing here looking at all of you in this room, because I think when I look at you, I see all the communities that are coming together today to have this incredibly important conversation. But I also see people in this room that are struggling and that are going through really tough times and that are connected with communities, workplaces, all the kinds of places that we belong to, that we know it's our responsibility to leave today to sort of move that change forward that we're talking about. So I really wanted to just acknowledge that. So when I was thinking about what I was going to say today about good jobs and the need for them, you know, my thoughts automatically went to my own family and why we even came to Canada 20 years ago. And it was for that very same reason, the search for a good job. And I know that there are many people in this room that have come to this country for that same reason. And the last 20 years of searching for those good jobs is something that my family is very well acquainted with. My father is a car mechanic, and he had 25 years experience, came to this country, and his trade was not recognized, which stopped him from getting a job in his trade. After 4 years of doing survival work, he finally got a good paying job with benefits that he was very proud of, which he lost when he had a workplace accident, and he didn't have a union, and he never got that job back. So his last 14 years of looking for work in this country was basically work that he found in small non-unionized plants, where it was a struggle to get basic $10 or $12 an hour, certainly with no benefits and no union protection. In one job, he ended up at a large corporation where he was part of hundreds of contract workers that worked alongside a small protected core workforce that had all the vacations, the benefits, the pension, the higher pay, and all the other company works. But there was thousands of contract workers that were on the outside that were basically making 12 bucks an hour, and that was it. My mum, in the past 20 years, has gone from a temp agency job to one short-term job after another. She's lost her job time and time again with downsizing, mergers, layoffs, companies moving offshore, all in search of cutting down costs. And that always means labor costs, of course. Each time she started a new job, she starts right at the bottom of the pay scale. And now she's just praying that maybe this job that she's in, she'll be able to retire in it so she won't have to look for a new job in her 60s. My younger brother has faced what a lot of young people are facing: huge debts from trying to go to school and then ending up in low-paid service work, making $7 or $8 an hour. He ended up going back to Asia because he was so frustrated with not being able to get ahead in this country. And of course, when he came back, what work could he find? It was only through a temporary agency. But then said to me, "I'm so lucky I've got an 11-month contract." What does this say when young workers, when all workers are saying, "I feel lucky that I got a one-year contract with no benefits"? That is what job security is for a lot of people. And that is why it's just some of the reasons why I'm here at the summit to join you in this fight for good jobs. Because my family's story is, I'm sure, a story of many people in this room, and I'm sure there are a lot of people in this room that have faced a lot worse. I'm also here because of the work that I've been doing for the past 17 years in the labor movement, fighting for good jobs. I worked with garment workers in the early 90s when labor market deregulation was gaining ground. In the early 90s, free trade hit the garment sector. Thousands of immigrant workers from the Chinese, Caribbean, Italian, Greek, Portuguese, Spanish, and South Asian communities, mainly women, lost low-paid but at least unionized jobs with benefits. They were thrown into a labor market where basically the labor market was restructured into small workplaces where women were working at home to do production, where manufacturing facilities became empty vessels to support production overseas. I see many of the women that I worked with in the early 90s now working through temporary agencies, doing cleaning, working in the hospitality sector, still working for low wages, now with no benefits, little protection against workplace violations, going from one low-wage job to the next. The numbers speak for themselves. In Ontario, 24% of Ontario workers make less than $12 an hour. Recent immigrant men are making 63 cents for the dollar for a Canadian-born man. 63 cents. And for immigrant women, that drops to 56 cents. 56 cents. And it's not just immigrant women. We have to pay attention to what's happening to Aboriginal and First Nations communities in this country. 41% of urban First Nations people live in low income compared to 15% of all Canadian families. These are poverty wages. And when I hear governments at all levels talking about the fact that families need to tighten their belts, that we have to somehow, you know, all get together to brace ourselves for the economic times, well, you know what? There are no more notches on the belt. You know, working people are already living on the edge, and there's nowhere to go because we have been tightening our belts for years. And in my work with the Workers' Action Centre for the past 8 years, we have been working to deal with such an incredible deterioration of labour standards, where people have such little access to labor protection and access to basic fundamental rights. The right such as to get paid for your work. That is what so many people are dealing with. Employers have been so successful in the last 30 years in moving more work beyond the reach of any labor protection and any regulation and any protection from unions. We've seen a 59% increase in temporary and contract jobs in the past 10 years. In this province, we have 700,000 temporary workers. 700,000 temporary workers. We're working with many people who are in precarious jobs, but who are in unionized workplaces, but without the protection of a union. So it's not just the recent loss of manufacturing jobs. Over the past 20 years, we have seen work become non-unionized through contracting out of services, all work that is, for the most part now, low-paid, unstable, and non-unionized. And it's not just contracting out. Employers are misclassifying workers as independent contractors. Some workers are told that they have to incorporate as a business just to even get a job and have to pay a whole host of fees to just get a job. These workers are beyond the reach of any regulation, and when workers don't get paid or they face an injury at work or they're trying to access employment insurance, they have to first argue that they are a worker. So even if they want to try and file a claim with the Ministry of Labour or with any government department, they have to argue that they are a worker. And so we're clearly seeing many employers misclassifying workers to avoid any legal responsibility for basic labour standards. So if we don't address this, if we don't include in our fight for good jobs this growing segment of the labour market, we will see these practices become entrenched and creep into other sectors. And so that is why we're here today. And this is a really important part of this conversation. Another incredible, important conversation we need to have today is to make the connection with migrant workers being brought into this country to service the agricultural industry, women being brought into this country to take care of children and families and to work in the healthcare sector. Workers are being brought into this country in every sector of work, hospitality, manufacturing, fisheries, restaurants, construction, the sectors go on and on. Workers are being brought into this country tied to specific employers, but with no landed immigrant status. Workers can be and are deported for speaking up about their rights, deported for getting sick, deported for getting pregnant, deported for being for complaining about a workplace injury, deported for speaking up against 15-hour workdays. When you have a system that allows and enables employers to have that much control over workers, we should be up in arms. We should be fighting for immediate landed immigrant status. We should be supporting, we should be all supporting workers coming into our country that are working, paying taxes, and contributing to our economy. And the number of workers coming through these programs, over 300,000 in this country, and they're coming in as living caregivers and agricultural workers and in all sectors, and they're looking for us for leadership here. They're looking for us to build allies. And if they can hire workers with the threat of deportation hanging over them if they complain about their rights, what power are we allowing employers to have in this country? And that is why we're here today in this fight for good jobs. The latest manufacturing crisis has raised alarm bells about the state of our economy. But we know we've been facing a crisis in the labor market for the past 30 years. It's women, racialized workers, recent immigrants who have most felt the effects of deregulation in the labor market. But that is changing. Restructuring is hitting higher paid, more secure manufacturing jobs. We're seeing this daily in our newspapers, and I know that there are people in this room who have just lost their jobs. Since November of 2002, Canada has lost 342,000 manufacturing jobs. These jobs are being replaced with self-employment, temporary, and low-paid jobs, almost one in four jobs. At the center, even though we're only based in Toronto, we're getting calls from workers and organizations from Chatham, Sudbury, Windsor, Brantford, Hamilton, London, Kitchener-Waterloo, who are saying, I lost my job. I used to be a unionized worker. Now I'm working for a temp agency because I don't have a choice. I'm not getting public holiday pay, but I can't say anything because this is the only game in town. We're seeing an unprecedented job loss in manufacturing that has hit our province. Families are losing their homes, their economic security, their dreams. We're all facing an incredibly uncertain future. And so that is why we're here today. That is why we're here today. And throughout all these realities that face us, and throughout my own history of being here for such a short time in this country, I've been fortunate to be part of some incredible struggles for change, where workers without any protection have come forward to shine a light on the gross injustices that is happening to them, whether they're a temp agency worker, a worker without status, a restaurant worker who's here through the Temporary Foreign Workers Program, a recent immigrant who's lost thousands of dollars in wages and where their company has gone bankrupt, or someone who's just lost their job and is wanting to fight for fair employment. And in this room, when I look at you all, I know that there are many community and labor leaders, union and community organizers, small grassroots organizations that have been struggling to build a fight back against an incredibly relentless assault, a relentless assault by multinational employers and government policies that have attempted to bring down labor standards, erode the quality and number of public sector jobs, that have forced concessions in bargaining, and that is relentless in pushing the agenda of flexibility and low wages. And we have won some incredible fights, and just to name a few, because there are so many, the minimum wage, we have to acknowledge that as an important fight. They said businesses would close, but we forced them to increase it to $10.25. It should be $10.25 this year, not in 2011. But we saw the kind of mobilizing, so this should give us hope. This should give us a sense that we can fight back. The right of agricultural workers to unionize. Yes, amazing victory. The incredible campaign of hotel workers in this city to shine a light on the work that they've been doing. And very incredible. The right of part-time college teachers to unionize. The Justice for Genitors campaign. I mean, you know, we need to pay. And as I said, you know, we're expecting in a couple of weeks legislation to protect temporary agency workers. And so we're, you know, we're poised to get some changes on that. So I think we have to, you know. These are just a few examples of how to show that we can win, that we can win gains for working people. But much more needs to be done. Our task today is to build solidarity. It's to see the links between all of our struggles and our histories in the fight for good jobs. Our task today is to ensure that we bring everyone under the umbrella of good jobs for all. That when we're talking about good jobs, we are including our sisters and brothers who are here as living caregivers or migrant farm workers. That when we're talking about good jobs, we're talking about pizza deliverers, retail sector workers, cleaners, temp agency workers. That when we're talking about good jobs, we're talking about building a future where we all can envision our dreams for a better life, where we're not abandoning large sectors of our workforce to toil in poor conditions with no protection because we just can't do anything about it. That should not be what we allow to do today. This is our dream. And this is what the Good Jobs Summit is about for me, and I hope for many of you here today. We have a task ahead of us to start making this fight back a reality, and that is why we're here today. Thank you very much.